Fighting Tyranny. You're listening to Knights of the Sword.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks for joining us on Knights of the Storm. Today is September 16th, Saturday, 2023. I'm, of course, Jason Barker, your host. We got Angus, our guest host. And today we have a very special guest. He's a rancher, a writer, a podcaster, founder of beefinitiative.com, among other things, Mr. Texas Slim. So, Mr. Texas Slim, how you doing this morning?
Man, I'm doing really well. It's beautiful. I can feel the fall here in West Texas, so it's kind of a nice change of, you know, getting out of the 110 degree heat that we've had. We're in a massive drought in Texas, and it's definitely had its effect this last couple of years. But I appreciate you having me on.
We appreciate having you. How you doing this morning, Angus? You doing good?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you.
All right. Okay, so it kind of turns out strange that I'm actually a customer of Mr. Texas Slim, and I didn't even know it. Real quick, the reason I contacted him is I saw somebody in the David Knight chat mention, you know, no mRNA beef, and they dropped your website in there, Mr. Slim, and I started thinking, I wonder if we're a customer, because my wife, when she moved here before I did, she signed on with this or got this guy's information, and when we need beef, we contact him. It's locally grown. There's no mRNA. They don't feed GMO food to it. And surprisingly, it's competitive price compared to what, you know, it costs in the store now. And it's delicious, by the way. So it turns out that that was an initiative that you started. Why don't you tell us all about that, like what you do and how you started in it?
You bet. I'll try not to get too wordy here and winded, but you know, I come from West Texas. I come from agriculture and ranching. That's basically been my life. I mean, I'm sixth generational Texan. We come from outside of a place called Lotney, Texas, close to the Matador Ranch. But I grew up outside of Canyon, Texas. And one thing that happened to me whenever I was young is our town pretty much got, you know, dried up. You know, agriculture shifted. I'm in my 50s and the 80s, we had, you know, farm aid and everything, but the dead economy from the 70s was really kicking in within agriculture. And so our small town, Texas, you know, in Texas, you know, they're all dried up. So I had to get to Austin and start living a different life than I thought I was going to. And I went deep into technology. I'm self-taught technology, never went to university. So I come from agriculture and ranching. Been around cattle my whole life, farming, of course, but I also ended up being a research analyst in the telecommunications labs and the intelligence labs there in Austin, Texas. So I've got a pretty good skill set. But what I saw a couple of years ago, I got busted up pretty good. I had some broken ribs, but I had an internal injury and it damn near killed me and nobody could figure it out. And I was kind of pissed off at the medical industry. I was pissed off at the food industry. I was pissed off at the cattle industry. And, you know, I said, well, okay, I'm going to put my skill sets together. And I went and embedded myself in a harvest company and then went all the way from Texas to Canada and back and really got into the belly of the beast of the multinational corporations when it's comes to chemical grain companies, you know, the cattle industry, the four processing centers that basically control 85% of our animal protein in the United States. And, you know, I realized that we've been captured in so many different ways. I knew we had, but I didn't know how bad it was. And whenever I really looked at food and health again from where I came from, that's when I just said, I'm going to open up something called the Beef Initiative. And we're going to get people back to their communities, eating food from where they stand, and we're going to start giving a voice to the great American rancher that they've never had in a digital way. They get censored. There's a prohibition against basically local producers and ranchers against this country, and we're pretty much sick of it. So we knew that we had to decentralize basically our food systems the way that my grandfather taught me, the way that small town America really basically became very powerful because we controlled our food systems from within instead of shopping them out towards, you know, this global market that we've created in the last 50 years.
You know, and real quick, we're seeing this not just with beef. I know my uncle was a dairy farmer in Southern Illinois. Yeah. And we used to sell, or he used to sell back when I was really young, like a truck would come by every day or so. It'd fill up and it would take it and it would be distributed locally. And then there were some changes. There were some changes with, you know, you had to pasteurize, you had to do this and do that. So it ended up going somewhere else, God knows where, mixed in with all this other milk from different places. By the time it hit the shelf, it's been mixed in with all this other milk. It's been pasteurized. It's all this stuff. And you don't know. You don't know where your milk comes from. And then also with when you talk about like factory farming and things like that, you run a higher risk of contaminating. You won't, if it's not decentralized, like you say, you can contaminate the whole batch. And we've seen this with this bird flu that they say goes through, and they've got to slaughter millions and millions of chickens because they grow them in a big, like a factory farm type setting. So
you bet.
So what you're doing, and let me pull this up real quick. I'll show people what it looks like. So this is your website, right?
You bet.
Okay. And go ahead.
Yeah, going back to what you're saying about dairy, you know, you look at the dairy industry, you look at the poultry industry, you look at the hog industry. Every one of those industries have been centralized, consolidated, and captured basically by the multinational corporations. And that's what they're about to go after. They are going after the beef industry and doing the same thing. You know, Tyson was the basically nail in the coffin for the hog industry. And, you know, who owns Tyson? You know, Smithville. All right. Who's Smithville? Well, that is home by China. You know, where's our beef going? Well, it's going overseas. You know, we don't eat our own beef anymore. Right. And this is all kind of, you know, falling on deaf ears to Americans because they just don't have access to this type of information. They don't understand it. It's too convoluted and it's very daunting. You talk about milk. I mean, they suck all the good value out of milk now and they boil it and they sell it on the shelves. And then they're basically making tons of profit off all the wonderful nutrition and animal fat that comes in milk. And they do this across the board. They do it with beef. You know, our tallow is now basically being used to processing plants in Hereford, Texas. Where does that tallow go? Well, it used to go, you know, into our homes, but now it's being used to create biodiesel, which is a subsidized industry by the United States government. So, you know, the profiteering off our animal proteins in this nation is lost. I mean, we basically receive zero profit, zero value of us stewarding our land and our animals. And this is what they know that they've gone too far here. And you're talking about diseases within the multinational system. Well, whenever you get millions of birds together, you get, you know, a half a million cattle together, you're going to have diseases. Yeah. And these diseases are something new. And the multinational corporations are the one that created these diseases because they commoditize and subsidize our food systems. And once again, you know, this is something that we have to, as a nation, better start paying attention to, because this is not just coming from me. This is getting down to national security. Our food systems have been captured by multinational corporations that have no intentions of feeding this nation, because right now we're 88% of Americans are now metabolically compromised in a way that's leading to massive diseases. And you know, we can't deny this fact. And, you know, we within the Beef Initiative, going back to, you know, presenting this, what we know is a simple plan is nothing new. We've already done this. What they did is they captured our processing centers. So you can put the screen back up real quick, and then we can kind of go into how I approached everything within the Beef Initiative.
All righty. And just real quick, I wanted to show this map.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of effort you've done to pull all these places together.
And that's one thing that we did in the beginning, because I'm a, you know, research analyst. We scrape the internet. We can go out there and we can populate a map. And so many people do that. Most of these maps are useless. The map you're looking at right now was homegrown. That's grassroots. I only asked three producers to be in this index. Everyone right now that you see came in voluntarily, and they came in word of mouth. They came in that referred. And basically, there is no obligation. You just put yourself in there, except following regenerative practices. You know, we've got to get away from this commodity and subsidized system. It's not a judgment against our commodity cowboys out there at all. Nothing. We are here for the great American rancher producer. But we want to lean more into regenerative practices that gets us back to the way we used to do it before we got captured within the GMO grains, all the mass antibiotics, steroids, all the injections. Everybody make, you know, the pharmaceutical companies making billions of dollars off of our cattle. And so that index is homegrown, it's grassroots, and it's a very powerful index right now. And people are starting to figure that out. And it's growing. I think we're getting close to about 200 now, I think. It fluctuates. It has the surges. But, you know, we've never marketed this. This is word of mouth.
Oh, that's awesome. One thing that you mentioned that's better than just getting, you know, not just getting the good food, because like you said, we don't know what's in our food. And because of factory farming, we have these diseases. They're starting to shoot them up with all these different supposed vaccines. And it really caught my attention when the mRNA jabs came out. And we did a report on what they were doing in Australia. They were shooting up cattle with the mRNA, and some of the cattle were dying a couple weeks later. And that just gets shut down on the internet. We got banned from YouTube. That was one of the strikes we had because we reported on that. And we reported factual information, but they don't want us to know. So we don't know what's in our food. The mRNA, in my opinion, is probably the most dangerous thing that we've ever created as humanity. And
by far.
Yeah. Yep. So,
let me give perspective to that. You bring up Australia, okay? Earlier in the year, in February, I did a world tour. I went over to Australia and I went over to Asia. Spent a month in Australia, and we had 9 different summits over there, and small events and conferences. Australia, you can really pay attention to, because this is what happens. They invent this crap in China, basically. They practice it and they put it in play in Australia, and then it goes basically to the UK, then comes to America. There's a wave coming. There's a massive global marketing plan coming, and it's going to be basically directed at our food. It's already in Australia. You know, they turned the cow into a carbon hazard. That's the biggest propaganda that I've ever heard, but most people don't know that that's nefarious, and then it's just more, it's a psyop. But you're going to come, and by the WHO, the WEF, everybody being able to classify the cow as a carbon hazard, now that will be used against you. And basically in Australia, it's already on the packaging. You have to pass all of these basically climate change narratives before you can even sell beef in Australia. Most Australians do not eat their own, very little access, market access to clean beef in Australia. Same in New Zealand. You know, a lot of the beef that happens in Australia gets exported. Well, where is it being exported to? Well, they don't really tell the Australians. In the United States, you know, people are concerned about mRNA vaccines. It really doesn't matter if we vaccinate our cattle in the United States. We're not eating American beef. And you can't say what percentage that is. I know it's probably over 60 to 70% of our beef is now shipped overseas. So about 60 to 70% of our animal protein is being shipped in from other countries. Okay, Africa, New Zealand, Australia, South America, just pick your continent. If that beef is basically coming in and they're not having to tell you country of origin, if you're not going out there and shaking a rancher's hand, you're not going to know anything about that beef. And you can scream from the mountaintop all about mRNA, but that's not what we should be focused on. We should be focused on country of origin labeling and what took place in that country. That's never going to happen. Our lobbyists are not going to do anything about it. Our legislation will never change that, because JBS, Cargill, National, and basically Tyson have way too much money to make sure that you never know where your beef is coming from. The only way that's going to happen is you going out there and establishing a relationship with somebody that is basically verified and will look you in the eye and give you their protocol of inputs. Or if they even have any inputs, you know, most of my ranchers, I mean, everything that we do in the beef initiative, it's zero antibiotics, man. We don't go there. And if we have to, you know, that goes into the commercial, basically, market. It goes to the auction house. And so one thing that this country is going to start paying attention to is that getting back to knowing who produces your food is going to be a power move. And it's actually going to come down to, you know, how we rebuild these communities, how we rebuild some food intelligence in this nation, knowing who basically is growing and stewarding your land and your food.
Yeah, the communities was something that I thought was really great as well, kind of as a byproduct of what you're doing. rather than, you know, getting absorbed into these large factory farms, the communities, and I've seen it in Southern Illinois when they stopped letting us mine the coal, entire town shut down.
Same thing.
We lost a one place. We lost a steel mill. The entire town shut down. So you have these other places that revolve around ranches and farms and things. And those communities, like you said, they were crumbling. So this is more than just clean food and knowing where it comes from. You're also rebuilding what America used to be, which is local.
Yes.
And what is the carbon footprint? If they want to cry about cows being a carbon hazard, what's the carbon footprint of shipping cattle back and forth across the globe? You know, they don't talk
about No, it's all smoke and mirrors. There's so many lies. You know, you look at Cargill and, you know, they're a beast, man. They've been around for hundreds of years. I went deep into Cargill. They have barges. They have shipping lanes. They have everything. You know, they ship cattle on barges across this globe. People have no clue about our food industry, this global one world food group. What they have accomplished in the last 50 years is amazing feat in the wrong direction. And people really don't even know how to look at food anymore because they think that we need to have this big, huge multinational system. No, that's what they stole from us, was how we were so productive as far as generating food in America. And we kept it home first. And then we shipped it out. Now your beef will be basically processed in Hereford, Texas, be shipped out somewhere, get cut up, then come back, then shipped overseas. The amount of diesel, the amount of shipping, the amount of profits being made just off of that one commodity is, you know, nobody sees that anymore except the multinational corporations. And how do you fight that? Well, you lose the scaling mentality and you get back into, you know, the state of Texas. This is a good example. State of Texas has 254 counties. In my lifetime, in the 70s, we had 254 processing centers, micro processing centers in the state of Texas. Now we have four multinational corporations controlling 85% of what we used to do in those microprocessing centers. This is what we have to get. We have to become a new country with a new perspective. We're not trying to scale anything here, folks. We're trying to feed our home first. That is it. And you do it through microprocessing centers. It's as simple as that. That is what builds community, is basically having that market access to nutrition. That creates commerce, that creates inflow, that creates, like Canyon, Texas is turning into a tourist town. I'm gonna put the world headquarters of the Beef Initiative in Canyon, Texas. We have a processing center in Canyon, Texas. We are feeding Canyon, Texas first, and then we're gonna ship across Texas, and then we'll ship across the United States. This is what we have to change as far as perspectives.
Nice.
You know, I buy steaks. I used to get them at a local grocery store chain, and they were pretty decent steaks. You know, they just come in the white styrofoam thing, whatever it is, you know, with the
right,
the cellophane wrapping. So about a year ago, maybe a little bit more, I was there one day, and now they're vacuum sealed. And I'm like, well, that's just a little weird. And I bought one, and it was absolutely the most tasteless thing I ever ate in my life. And then I started questioning. I'm like, where did that come from? Why do they have to vacuum seal this suddenly? And like you said, there's no labeling to tell you. But when the giveaway is when it says distributed by.
Yeah.
People don't understand that. Distributed by such a place in Chicago. Well, that doesn't mean it's from the U.S. That means they're bringing it in from somewhere else, and they're selling it to you. And it's crap. Like you said, you don't know what you're eating. And a lot of people, I travel around the country and I, you know, for work, and I mentioned to people, you know, we're just talking to customers, and a lot of people don't know, like, Smithfield is out of China, you know, and they're shocked to hear that. And it's like, you know, you're eating pigs that are raised in an apartment building, basically, because they do pretty that much. Vertical.
Yeah.
It's crazy what they do, what they get away with.
What does he say? Make sure you eat from the penthouse, not the basement.
Yeah, you don't eat from the basement. Eat from the penthouse. Get the penthouse.
Well, let's go back to that. Those warehouses in China. All right, folks. I can go down here to the supermarket, and it says Texas catfish. Well, it says product of China. Okay, well, you go to those hog warehouses where they have these stories, just hogs stacked on top of each other. And all that waste is going down into these ponds. Well, what are they feeding in those ponds? Well, they're feeding fish. Well, you can have catfish that are spawned in Texas, shipped to China, fed the excrement of hogs in a commodity system. You don't know what China's feeding their hogs. Those catfish are now shipped back to Texas, product of the USA, product of the USA. They can say that just like you talked about distribution. Well, now all they have to say is product of the USA. That doesn't mean shit, man. It means that we took ownership of it. And everybody goes, oh, it's US, you know, it's US catfish. It's Texas catfish. No, it's coming from a freaking, the basement of excrement of a hog farm in China. And if it, maybe it's not, well, you're never going to know if it is or if it isn't. We know it exists and we know it happens. And that's where people need to get their perspectives. It's like, if you cannot prove where this came from or what that was fed, especially in this subsidized and commoditized world, you don't know what you're consuming anymore. It's as simple as that. Our FDA, the labeling laws, everything, all the basically the smoke and mirrors that they do. You talk about beef down in San Antonio processing center. They went and they looked at a batch of burger, 1 pound batch of burger. They found, I think, 88 different genetics, 88 different cows in 1 pound of ground beef. And that's just not acceptable. You just don't know. If you don't know, you don't know. Acceptance is the key here. It's like, okay, if you can accept that the food system is kind of screwed up by now, go shake a rancher's hand and keep it simple. Establish relationships, you know, do something different, because I guarantee you in the next couple of years, what we're doing within the beef initiative, there will be waiting lines for people trying to get access to these producers, because they're consolidating and centralizing our beef industry, and people are not going to have market access to the type of beef that they want, or even at the supermarket, because they're going to turn beef into caviar at the supermarket. They've already done it. They price manipulate all the time. JBS made $500 million a profit during COVID because they manipulated price at the retail level. They were only fined $56 million. Department of Justice should be all over this. They will never touch it because they're owned. It's as simple as that. And if people can start waking up to where, yeah, it's daunting, it's nefarious, it's bullshit, but there's answers. And we're going to innovate right through all of this. It's a global industrial food shift is what is unfolding. They got their marching orders in 2017, whenever we had massive consolidation with the chemical and grain companies, Bayer buying Monsanto. You had 8 major international food corporations that really got together. They're going for a one world food group. And if anybody wants to go and do a search, just search Monsanto, Cargill, who else? Throw in a couple of other national, Tyson, into a search, and you're going to find out there's about a 77-page PDF document out there. It's hard to find, but if you can do a good search on it, you'll find what the One World Food Group is, what they're going to do. It's part of the 2030 plan that, you know, the WHO, the WEF, the IMF, everybody's shooting for. They're coming after our food systems, and they're going to have success because we've proven that most Americans, man, we'll eat dog shit as long as it tastes good. I mean, we are failing as a nation in our health. It's not a judgment, man. This is not a judgment. Yeah. People better wake up, man. We got kids coming into doctor's office. We got over 20 doctors reporting to the Beef Initiative, telling us what they're seeing. We got kids with fatty liver diseases coming in because of our commoditized and subsidized food system. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, and you know, when you look at this, the global initiative that's going, you got to understand that the IMF and the WHO and all these self-proclaimed leaders, globalist kind of folks, they have an agenda to reduce world population. That's openly stated, right? That we need to, because of the green agenda, because they worship, you know, their whole green thing. And if they're taking control of the food, and you know that they also want to reduce the population, you know, it caught my attention when Bill Gates started buying farmland. Like, why is he buying farmland? China's buying farmland. Why are these people buying farmland that have no background in farming? It's like you said, it's the corner of the market on the food. I believe that eventually it's going to be a depopulation strategy, either through sickness or just starvation. You make it too expensive to eat. I mean, they're crashing the economy right now, and like it's like a train going off a cliff, and it's just accelerating. So, you know, that's one thing I did appreciate was when my wife started purchasing from Ozark Mountain Meats, which is one of your affiliates. The price was comparable to Walmart, but the beef quality was so good. Like, I just had a steak last night, and I really could have cut it with a fork. It was so freaking good.
Yeah. Well, going back to what Angus was saying, I don't think this country even knows what beef tastes like anymore. And we do a disservice to these producers and ranchers that actually really do put everything into raising quality, dense nutrition. And whenever you can get a society as far as who controls the seed, if you can get a society to basically idealistically nutritionally starve themselves because of some propaganda bullshit, then you've won. You don't need war. You just nutritionally starve their brains, and that's what's going on. I mean, we have anxiety. We have stress. 78% of Americans are on freaking 2 prescriptions. People don't understand that, man, we're captured in a chemical way here. And mostly I asked all these commodity guys, I said, hey, where's the value of the cow now? You know, I know where it used to be. It used to be in the cow, or it was at least in the land. You know where the value of the cow is in the United States of America right now? It's in the USDA insurance policy. Sorry, that's the truth, man. Wow. You know, well, you think about it, man. Who controls the access of that cow of profits? You have commodity guys out there, and once again, this is not a judgment. They'll go out there and raise a cow on good pasture land. They'll do everything right to have a quality, quality beast. They'll do everything right. And then they have no place to sell it because they don't have access to processing centers. What are they going to do with those beasts? Well, they're going to take it to the auction houses. Who controls the auction houses? Well, it's a global subsidized, commoditized stock exchange, basically. It's a cattle exchange. So they have to sell it to auction houses. Instead of making $3,000 profit off that beef, they're going to end up making about $400, $500, $600, and that's it. They're just staying in business. And they have to go through basically a technology use agreement Monsanto created in the 80s, basically, where if they don't use the right inputs, they get in trouble. They're not ranching anymore. Once again, it goes back to those processing centers. That cow can be the most beautiful damn bull that you've ever seen, but then he's lost into that system to where once he's in that feed yard system and that auction house system, 30 days, 90 days, he's done. They're going to feed it as much as they can as far as the commodity grains, the chemicals, pharmaceuticals, everything they can inject in that, because then it's on the global beef distribution market. Distribution, distribution, distribution. Who controls the distribution across this globe? Where I'm sitting right now is Amarillo, Texas, up here in the panhandle, like Angus was saying. He came through here the other day. We should be the healthiest freaking region in the world. We have more cattle here that are basically stewarded and processed, but actually this part of Texas is very unhealthy. We don't have market access to nutrition anymore. It's as simple as that.
Wow.
Well, and that's the other thing. That's where they double down too, because if you watch TV or listen to anything, every commercial is a pharmaceutical commercial.
Yep.
And it's all about your stomach and getting... What they're trying to do is get your stomach to take the crap that they're feeding you, you know, and maybe it's killing you. And so they're just making money on top of money, because like you said, they're also putting pharmaceuticals in with the beef. So the pharmaceutical companies are making all kinds of freaking money on this. And it's
well, disgusting. You look what the FDA did during COVID. October 2021, they won a lawsuit. And it was October 2021. You can look this one up to do a Google search. It was FDA won a lawsuit about the Gross Rule. What is the Gross Rule? Generally recognized as safe. You want to talk about a loophole. They actually won a lawsuit where they injected 2,000 new chemicals into our food system in 2022. And they didn't have to tell us anything about them because they say they're generally recognized as safe. And so you get basically the multinational corporations pharmaceutical, medical, pharmaceutical, agricultural complex, basically, I call it impact. They're all working together, and they are. They've killed our gut biomes because of all of the chemicals and the lack of nutrition. We don't eat the earth anymore. We eat the chemical lab. We inject the chemical lab. We ingest the chemical lab. You have companies like Rural DSM out of the Netherlands. They design basically most of the taste around this world now. 80% of what you taste is probably coming from Rural DSM. They're talking nanoparticle technology now. They're talking to our neurons. You know, the first taste that a child ever gets is from a chemical company. It's not from the mother's breast. And this is by design. They are doing this by design because it creates a codependency of society that creates a fragility and it creates a form of compliance. Did we just see massive compliance with no freaking common sense just happening across this world? They know what they're doing and they're going to come harder. COVID was just a beta test, man. They're about to get this thing going on steroids. And this is going to unfold. It's just that the general population is just now starting to wake up. Man, I've been saying this stuff for 4 years and people thought I was crazy. You watch what happens over the next 24 months. It's not going to be pretty.
Oh, I totally agree.
I 100% agree. No, I just saying, I 100% agree with that.
So what really makes it difficult, and I guess I was going to ask you what challenges you had in launching this and starting it up, but what they've done is they've criminalized. Like, when was the last time you seen a local butcher? You know, that
they're gone, man. They're out. They're gone. You know, I talk about it here up here a lot because I'm in the belly of the beast of the multinational corporations. This highway you hear, okay, that goes up to a place called Cactus. Okay, where is that? Well, that's Swift. What is that? Well, that's multinational processing centers. I grew up with guys that their dads and their moms worked in, you know, IBP, regional processing centers. Now we've got immigrants on white school buses being shipped to these processing centers and then shipped out from Asia, from Africa. Nobody even knows what butchery is anymore. You can go to a supermarket and all they're doing is getting a vacuum sealed big old ribeye loin and cutting it open and then making steaks out of it. That's our butchery skills in the United States now. Wow. We've lost a skill set. We've lost an artisan skill set and we need to bring it back. And that's one thing that I'm doing. I do something called the Cattleman's Feast and we highlight every bit of the cow. And that basically shows you what we've been stolen. The supermarket, what do we got? We got a ribeye, a T-bone, a New York strip, you know, four or five cuts of the supermarket, and that's all they give you. That's BS, man. There's so many cuts of the cow that we do not have access to anymore. There you go.
Look at some of this. Delicious. Delicious. But
I remember going back at the Delmonico cut. You don't ever hear that one anymore.
No.
That was a really good cut, too.
Like the... Yeah, they are. I like the Picanha, like the Denver, like the Oso Boco. I mean, you've got just unlimited, you know, well, basically, we'll say priced, well-valued beef. And I try to stay away from this because I kind of get pissed off. Like, you, how dare you compare supermarket beef to the beef that we bring from the Beef Initiative, you know? Because people say, oh, it's too expensive. And I say, okay, let's talk about money. Let's talk about health. Show me your pantry. I'm going to tell you what's expensive. Show me your insurance bills. How many prescriptions you taken? What's the longevity of our, basically our lifespans in the United States now? Did you know that they just decreased it 2.7 years this last year? I mean, folks, what's expensive, man? Health is wealth. I eat butter, eggs, and beef. That's 90% of what I eat. And I can go for days, man. If I miss a meal during a day, I'm not even hungry. People need to get back to the source of the seed of what nutrition is, what real food is, what is value, what's expensive, and what's not expensive. We have to change perspectives. We have to change our mindsets as a nation because we look at food as convenience. Food is not convenience. Food is survival. And you want the best nutrition, the most dense nutrition you can get. That's basically beef in the United States. We grow the best beef in the world, and the world knows this, and that's why they're taking it out of our borders and shipping it across and selling it to the highest bidders. We've got to start making a precedence. The only thing that this change, only way all this changes is with our dollar. Our consumer demand has to change. And it's not a big marketing plan here. It's one handshake at a time. That's how the Beef Initiative started. I went and shook one rancher's hand and I said, hey, would you educate me on what you're doing and why you do it? What are you trying to accomplish? And then I said, I want to help you. I want to give you basically a voice that you've never had, because like I said, I came from deep tech. I worked in telecommunications. I worked in intelligence labs. Our producers in the United States of America will never have a digital voice. The number one platform that they use to sell their product is the number one censored platform on the planet, Facebook. That's where most people have to try to sell their beef, is through a centralized, censored platform that does not give them basically clean through market access to the consumers that are looking for them. I know this because I was in technology for over two decades. That's what the Beef Initiative is. It's a decentralized index that nobody can censor. It's an umbrella of marketing. It's an umbrella of basically a digital voice that they've never had.
So one of the challenges, my mom and stepdad, they're up in Iowa and they have a pretty good homestead going. And one of the challenges is criminalization of trying to get their product out. So, for instance, they can't sell their goat's milk. They can give it away.
There you go.
So it's, in my opinion, if they continue to criminalize, just kind of like whole milk, you know, people have a problem getting whole milk out there. They want to come in and say, well, it's dangerous. The FDA steps in and says it's dangerous. It has to go to one of these facilities. You have to have this middleman. It's not direct to consumer anymore. And one thing that they can do is they can work out a barter, a trade. And something you've done with the Beef Initiative is you've actually got it hooked up with Bitcoin. So you can keep those transactions anonymous, because they are trying to criminalize, you know, what we used to do, what we used to do every day, which is, you know, I have eggs, I have beef, I have, you know, they do sheep, they do rabbits, they do chickens, they got even guinea birds running around, all kinds of stuff. But they can't exactly just go to the neighbor and sell it to them. You know, they could sell the animal to them, but they can't process it themselves and then sell them that product. It has to go through and then it has to have a litany of shots given to it, you know, to ensure that it's safe and healthy, right? Which is the opposite.
Right.
But what are some of the challenges with...
Well, right there, I think you just nailed it. You know, people look at, you know, I don't use the word crypto. Crypto is bullshit. Bitcoin is basically a decentralized monetary system. I won't talk crypto because I come from deep tech. Crypto is nothing more than the dot-com boom and the dot-com bust just waiting to happen. And it's already been proven. We've already lost billions and billions of dollars through Ponzi schemes. Bitcoin is nothing more than a peer-to-peer transactional layer of basically that resides on the internet. It's a protocol. It's a decentralized network, okay? But the one thing that I saw with Bitcoin is that it is a peer-to-peer transaction that is property. Bitcoin is property. They're not going to outlaw Bitcoin, folks. If you can get it, you better get it, because what they're going to do is they're going to take control of it, and they're going to basically create, you know, like they did with gold. You don't own gold anymore. You own a gold note. And they're going to do that with Bitcoin. But the value of Bitcoin is that, okay, you look at a rancher producer and they're trying to sell a product. Well, you have to go through a transactional banking system, right? And you go out there, and my ranchers and producers always go up to them and said, hey, how much are you paying the credit card companies per transaction? 3% per swipe, right? Okay. I said, well, just accept Bitcoin. You don't have to keep it in Bitcoin, but I guarantee you're not going to be paying that 3% anymore. And that's what a lot of the producers and ranchers see. That's going to be the entry point of adoption for these producers and ranchers. It's kind of hard to understand Bitcoin right now. And just like the internet, we used to not buy shoes on the internet. You know, it took us years to be able to build those transactional layers. Same with Bitcoin. But if you can get out there and have a peer-to-peer transactional layer that is non-confiscatable, you don't have to report to the bank. You don't have to tell anybody about it. You're not breaking any rules. You're not breaking any laws. And I guarantee you're going to see this happen within the food systems. I bet we've already, I don't know, probably between $500,000 and $1 million worth of beef. And the beef initiative over 2 years was transacted through Bitcoin. And it's not saying, and I don't want to know if the ranchers keep the Bitcoin. It's not my business. It's their business. And what they get to do with it is what they want to. But I guarantee you, they're not paying the bank as much money as that they were. And you watch whenever the Chase and all these credit card companies get into the Bitcoin movement, because they are. They're just building transactional layers right now, and they're not telling you. And this is what people need to come. The adoption is coming. They will not outlaw Bitcoin. What they're going to do is they're going to try to capture it just like any other stock, just like anything, everything. You know, they've always done this in the stock market. You look at Apple. At one point in time, there were four states in the United States where you were not allowed to buy Apple stock. You know why? Because they said it was didn't have any value. And now look at Apple, of course. Same thing with Amazon. They always do this up front. They'll talk shit on it until they have control over it, and then they'll basically push it. It's nothing. I've seen this happen time and time again.
Yeah, they're trying to corner the market on digital with CBDC. Yeah. That's a big push right now, central bank digital currency.
And if they go to a CBDC, you're going to want to have Bitcoin. I guarantee to you. Like I said, I've been around this world, and there's times you can show up nowhere. All you got is 12 words in your head, and you can actually do transactions with somebody. You don't have to go and do any remittance. You don't have to do any exchange rates. You don't have to do anything. You can go peer-to-peer and exchange Bitcoin, and it works. And so, once again, it's an adoption period. It takes time.
All right. You got any questions, Angus?
Yeah, Slim. So you were talking about you eat butter, milk, and beef. Those are three things that they will tell people are the worst things that you could ever eat for yourself. I mean, they've been doing that for the longest time, is the propaganda, the brainwashing to get people to move away from that. And I know plenty of people that have done it, you know, and it's just now you look back and you go, well, okay, that's what they were doing. They were just prepping their attack, so to speak.
Well, you can go back with cholesterol. Let's go back to cholesterol. That's something they use against us. A lot of people, hey, what is your brain made of? Most of it's cholesterol, folks. Yep. And so you look at that and how the brain operates. Animal proteins, animal fats. You go back and look and do a image search on Venice Beach in 1969, and then do one for 2023. You know, over a 50-year period, what happened in 1954, Ansel Keys is his name. Well, Eisenhower had a massive heart attack, and they started looking at the health of a nation because, oh my God, our commander in chief had a heart attack. Well, they failed to tell us that Eisenhower smoked 4 packs of cigarettes a day too. So the propaganda and the cover up and the basically within the medical community has been a long time propaganda machine, and people are starting to wake up to this. And if you think that animal fat is basically bad for you, then this is where the capture is. I think probably 70-80% of Americans are in senior citizens are on some type of cholesterol drug. Billions upon billions of dollars have just been made over cholesterol. The fat-free fiction shit that they came out with during the 80s with the food pyramid, eating carbohydrates, eliminating animal proteins out of your diet, eating one serving or two servings of beef. You know, eggs are going to give you heart attacks. It's just, it is. They've been doing this for a long time. And it's taken a long time for a nation to see it. And unfortunately, they've captured our health because of the propaganda when it comes down just the education of knowing the value of animal fat. What do they do with all the animal fat that they take out of the milk? They boil milk and give you something. It's a white substance. What do they do with all that byproduct that comes out of that raw milk? They make billions upon billions of dollars off of it in a different market. And they don't tell you this, but they just say, oh, milk just has to be boiled so it'll be safe. Man, I drink raw milk all the time that's sitting out on the damn table for 5 days. My gut biome is intact. I haven't taken antibiotics my whole life. I haven't had anything in this system. I grew up licking the damn dirt floors, you know? And this is what we've lost as a nation, is what is health? What is basically nutrition? why do they basically propagandize us into feeling so fragile and sick all the time? Why is it every third commercial on TV is a pharmaceutical commercial? You know, and I think it's people have to pause. A lot of people that find about the Beef Initiative go through some suffering first with health, and then they come in, and then they start realizing what is health, what is nutrition. So you bring up a good point, Angus. I mean, this propaganda has been going on for a long time.
I mean, they said that was to improve your health, you know, to tell people don't eat eggs, don't eat this. But I'll tell you what, I spend a lot of time at the airport, and the whole country just looks very unhealthy. You know, yeah, I think
we are.
The younger generation's catching on, but people my age and, you know, a little bit younger and older, they look terrible. And then they stand in line at the airport to eat, you know, Popeye's chicken from China or Bojangles or something. I mean, look at what you're eating, for one thing. I mean, just start with that. But, so you take a prescription, you'll feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so one thing that
– I'll go ahead. I'm sorry, Tex.
Real quick, folks, it comes down to perspective, man, and acceptance is the key. You know, my father was a counselor for rehabilitation, drug addiction for over 30 years. You look at food right now, from where we've come from, food is nothing more than a drug. Man, people have to eat every 4 hours. Why are they having to eat every 4 hours? Is because of highly processed food, highly processed carbohydrates, insulin spikes, insulin crashes, insulin spikes, insulin crashes. 78% of Americans are now diabetic. Think about that, folks.
Yeah.
1 out of 2 of us are on insulin now in the United States. How much does it cost to basically take insulin for one person for 1 month? It's $900. Who's paying for that insulin? It's not the individual. It's basically been subsidized on the governmental level. Taxpayers are basically paying for all the insulin that Pfizer and all the pharmaceutical companies are selling. It's a highly profitable business, global business, to make you sick because you are the byproduct now. And if you can accept that as the individual, then you will go out there and change. And you will make those lifestyle changes. And that's why we do lifestyle management within the Beef Initiative as well.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that. That's what I wanted to segue into before we run out of time.
You bet.
Let me go ahead and, because we talked a little bit off air about this. So you have a Substack right here.
You bet.
I was going through a lot of good articles and stuff that you write in here. And this one caught my eye. It's a relatively recent one. Because this has to do with overall, not just... because food is your medicine and that's your health, but also you're talking about mental and stress and things like that, that also have been hoisted upon us by design, I believe. So tell us a little bit about this article, you know, Escaping the Cycles of Stress. And you talk about, you know, self-awareness, perspective. In here, you talk about the, you know, alarm clock going off, you know, in early in the morning, and then you end up with a blue screen in front of your face late at night, which is not good because the light waves don't let your mind produce the, what is it, serotonin or whatever it's supposed to.
Yeah, serotonin. You bet.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, let me go. About that.
Yeah, when I talk about technology, well, I was in the intelligence labs for about 7 years. I was contracted out. And this was during the time of basically people figuring out in technology and the technocrats figuring out what dopamine truly was and how we could use it. Folks, dopamine is basically a pleasure drug. It makes you want more. It's that addiction drug. Serotonin is your happy drug. Serotonin comes with true achievement, true physical, mental activity. Okay, these are the two things that we are running on these days. Not enough serotonin. We got way too much dopamine because dopamine is like a heroin addiction. It's like an alcohol addiction. The lows get lower. The highs get lower. Listen to what I said. The lows get lower. The highs get lower, just like drugs. Everybody, you talk to drug addicts, they always say, man, that first time was the best time that I ever felt, you know, that way. Ever since, it's gone lower and lower. That's dopamine. This is what they're serving up to these digital devices. We've lost contact, basically, with knowing how to achieve serotonin. Lifestyle management is with Jennifer Banbrigg. She has a business. She's a lifetime nutrition expert. She gets back to the primal basics of nutrition and of health. And so what we did, we teamed up and we're creating a division of the Beef Initiative with Texas Slim's Cuts, our publishing division, and we're going straight at lifestyle management. And we're talking about, hey, this is how we need to start starting our days. Everybody wakes up and they grab that phone, right? You know, and you know, there's things to be said. Like, I do a lot of breath work. I've been doing breath work and meditation since I was 20s. I've been traveling around the world. I've studied Buddhism, Taoism, everything. I'm a West Texas cowboy. Don't doubt it that for one second. But one thing I do is I know basically how the brain works. In the telecommunications labs in 2000, I'd say about 2002 and 3 and 4, after 9/11, we started hitting broadband pretty big. We only had about 2 to 3 devices per household. In the telecommunications industry, we started doing behavioral analysis of like, what are we looking at on the screen? How are we acting? And we knew basically telecommunications said, hey, we've got to get that damn family divided up. We need to have Johnny in his room, Jill in her room. We need to have Dad in his room and Mom in her room. What we did, we were serving up division of the family within the household because they needed to sell more broadband. They needed to sell more devices. That was an explosion that a lot of people didn't see coming. And that created the division of interpersonal communication. Not a lot, not just with the family, because you can go to any family and everybody's on their phone doing their things. And this is played out. I wrote an article in telecommunication. It was called The Division of Interpersonal Communication. Well, we've lost communication within ourselves, within our own minds, because we're running on dopamine. We've got to get back to starting our days with some serotonin. And that's what these articles are about. It's basically doing a reset, saying, okay, how do you breathe? We don't breathe correctly. I can hold my breath for about 4.5 minutes. That took years of practice. But what I do know is that we are not doing the right form of breathing. We're doing shallow breathing. We're getting too much carbon dioxide. We're not flushing out our system. We're not breathing through our nose to the brain first and letting that flow. So we're going to start bringing all types of health intelligence through lifestyle management through people like Jennifer. And what it's going to be is like the blue screen on your computers. You need sunshine, man, right when the day starts. If you can go out and get 15 minutes of sunshine just showing onto your pupils, man, your day is going to be better. You're going to start creating serotonin instead of dopamine. So these articles are going to be coming out once a week, and they are. They're full packed with so much good like nutrition advice that it's not carnivore, it's not veganism, it's not vegetarian. It's primal basics of basically learning how to eat the earth again. And then on health, we're going to go back to, because you have all these people out there in the fitness industries. Well, who's funding them? You know, it's like, let's get back to the basics of health again. Let's learn how to breathe. Let's learn how to think. Let's learn how to basically enjoy sunlight again. Let's start with the basics, and then we're going to just segue into new programs and teaching people what health is again and what is nutrition again and what a food intelligence is. In the beginning, I told everybody, you know, because I did have a health scare. I said, man, the Beef Initiative is a great American health initiative that's going to be led by the great American rancher. And that's what we're going to start unleashing. So we're just a cocktail of such goodness. You know, it's been a fun ride. And people are starting to see it, and they're starting to like kind of come into this protocol of living again. And that's what we're trying to do, man. We want to go have fun again. We want to be empowered. You know, there's too much compliance. There's too much basically fragility. Everybody's afraid. You brought it up earlier. Everybody's running around in anxiety. Well, why? Well, we've done that on purpose. We've digitally basically engineered anxiety across this nation to where everybody's living in fear instead of empowerment. And that's what we've got to get back to. We've got to get back to that perspective.
Excellent. That's truly a holistic approach. That's really awesome. So I went ahead and threw the Substack shortcut up there.
Thank you.
And also I had the website for Beef Initiative. Anybody listening, we got quite a few people in the chat here. We monitor the Rumble chat. So if anybody wants those addresses, you missed it. Maybe you're listening on a podcast or something. Just email me at thenightsoftheforum.com, and I will send you those links. So anytime. Anyway,
One thing real quick on that, just to make it easy, because you popped up the URLs. Anybody listening as well, just go to beefinitiative.com, sign up right there. You'll have a pop-up. That gets you signed up for the Substack as well. So you have full access to everything that we're doing just by going beefinitiative.com, sign up, boom, you're good. We got 5 Substacks coming out. One of them's called The Voice. It's the voice of the ranchers themselves. They get to have their own newsletter. We have The Harvest of Deception. That's basically the first article that I ever wrote. That was basically going deep into basically the multinational systems. And then we have Jennifer with Lifestyle Management. We have June, our executive producer. He basically got out of the city and basically found, you know, nutrition again. And so we've got all kinds of stories. We've got testimonies. We've got all kinds of solutions. So,
all right. Well, where else can they find you? Or are you anywhere else besides the Beef Initiative and Substack?
Yeah, you bet. We just started releasing. We have 2 years of content right now that we've been basically sitting on because we wanted to get a bigger foundational base of people following us. So we're on Instagram, we're on TikTok, we're on Twitter. You can just do searches on all of those. Do Texas Slim, do Beef Initiative. Just do these searches within, because we're going to bombard and blitzkrieg social media now with everything that we're doing. So we can funnel everybody into the Beef Initiative. I was off social media, man. I hate social media. I walked away from technology, you know, but I do have a Twitter account that I started. We have the Beef Initiative on Twitter and also Modern Tea Man on Twitter. Those are our two foundational social media accounts. But like I said, man, the best form of information is just getting into the Substack and getting into basically the Beef Initiative. And you just following that protocol, you're going to have all the information you need.
Nice. Angus, what do you got for us as we wrap it up?
I want to go get a steak right now. A good one, too. Not...
There you go, man. Hey, Texas Slim's Cuts, TexasSlim'sCuts.com, man. And I tell you, it's the best beef, and it's the cleanest beef in the nation, man. We've got it. We got the processing centers. We know exactly where that cow came from. I mean, we honor the cow. We honor the rancher. We honor every child in this nation. I'm in this. I have a child. I have a son, man. I'm saving my children's lives. I'm not putting up with this bullshit anymore. And I want every parent out there. And if you're not a parent, you need to work twice as hard because there's parents out there that need your help. We're out here to save a nation. We're out here to save generations of kids' lives because our consumer demand, our adult consumer demand is now killing children in the United States. And we better own up to that. This is a national security issue. And I don't care anybody that laughs at that. You watch what happens over the next 7 years, and you can stamp this date because this is an issue that this country better start paying attention to. And you brought up earlier, we're going through a monetary reset, folks. This is a new debt economy that they're creating. They're going to create a whole new layer of poverty, just like they did in the 70s. They're going to stack a whole new layer of debt on that layer of poverty. A lot of people are going to be in poverty in the United States, and they don't realize it just yet. It's unfolding.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I want to thank you for joining us. You're outstanding guest. If you hang out after this, I want to talk to you. I think you would be an excellent person to go on David Knight because he talks about all this stuff and he has a huge viewership. So hang out.
I will. I'll be hanging around. I really do. Nice to meet you, Angus. Appreciate you showing up as well. Thanks for having me on the show. Thanks everybody out there.
I have one final question. Because I'll be sad if I don't ask this. What cut of meat is a Slim Jim?
Slim Jim? Parts is parts is what we always said growing up. I don't know. Vienna sausage is a Slim Jim, isn't it? It's the same damn thing. Spam? Fried spam sandwiches?
Slim Jims are made now because I have a feeling they're not.
They don't have to tell you. No, who knows, man? Like I say, parts is parts. But it sure does taste good, you know, thanks to World DSM.
Pleasure
good
meeting
question,
you.
Though. Yeah, thank you, Angus. Pleasure meeting you.
All right. Well, appreciate you guys. Take care and have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week. And probably see most of y'all that listen to this on the David Knight chat on Monday. All right. Take care.
Take care, everyone.
Thanks, guys.